Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Mickey Munley, and I'm here on campus in Galesburg with President Teresa Mott, and we're looking forward to a lively interchange and dialogue discussion tonight for the telephone phone cast. If you're just joining us, we're dialing through well over 10,000 Knox alumni and friends, so we want to take a couple moments to get through all the dialing, and while we do that, I'll fill you in on some housekeeping details and then introduce Teresa for a few introductory remarks. So the way this works tonight is if you have questions or comments, I know Teresa is looking forward to taking as many as possible, please press zero on your phone. It's like raising your hand, get you in line, get you in the queue. We'll do our best to get to as many questions as possible, and you'll be able to ask those questions live. So again, if you have questions tonight for the president, please just go ahead and press zero. We're about halfway through the dialing and well over 500 people. So before we get to Teresa's formal remarks, just want to ask her how she's doing tonight. We've got quite a bit of weather going here, and it looks like we just lost a connection. So hang with me, everybody. I can hear you on the phone, okay? But I'm going to bring up the screen. So, Teresa, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm fine. We are in the middle of a raging Midwestern thunderstorm, which may explain the loss of the connection to some of us. We're not really sure who can hear us and who cannot. But it is definitely springtime in Galesburg. And right now I'm looking out my window at little purple and gold pansies that were planted today and appear to be getting battered by the storm. So,
okay, everyone. It looks like the internet connection is down, and that lets us see who's had a question to ask. Why don't we do this? I know we're about through all the dialing. So while we bring up the ability to let you talk live to the president with your questions, Teresa, I know you had some remarks. I know we're about through with the dialing. So if everybody would be patient with us, press zero if you have a question. We'll get to you. But Teresa, I know you wanted to preface tonight's call with a couple remarks. So please go ahead, and we'll get started.
Well, I'll do that. Thanks much, Mickey. I think I should also mention that Mickey is a parent of a Knox alum, Abby Ellen, who was a great Knox student. She had a terrific internship in our local hospital, played on the women's basketball team. And so Mickey has been a cheerer on her and a supporter of Knox students for a long time. Thanks for joining us on this phone cast. We're very excited to use this new technology in a way that will begin to connect us to more people than we've ever been able to speak to before. I want to start on a kind of a personal note, because it's really been 5 years since Ray and I followed in the footsteps of Knox's founders and made our way from Western New York to this special college. In some respects, it feels to me like I've been here forever. In other respects, it feels to me as though we just arrived. A lot has happened over those 5 years. We've transformed Alumni Hall. We've broken ground on the Whitcomb Art Building. And many of our faculty and staff and students and alumni joined together in a year-long project to create the Knox 2018 Strategic Plan. And this is a plan to move this historic institution into a global and technologically sophisticated future. These are audacious projects, and they're especially audacious if you put them against the backdrop of a very challenging environment for higher education and for the college. For higher education overall, there's been an important shift in the demographics of today's college students. You know there's growing skepticism over the value of a college education. Our admissions people can tell you it's a fiercely competitive higher ed market, and the federal government is increasingly providing oversight to everything that we do. I've been in higher education a long time, not going to tell you how long, but I'm looking forward to my 50th reunion sometime in the near future. And I'm really confident on the basis of that experience that Knox is uniquely well positioned to meet the needs of our students in the future. With one of the nation's most diverse student bodies, our campus is a true reflection of the 21st century learner. And our focus on hands-on learning translates directly to professional success after Knox. but there is much to be done to ensure that a Knox education can remain attractive and relevant and affordable for generations to come. Our strategic plan is a roadmap to achieve those goals. I can tell you that my team is working very hard to achieve all of the very ambitious initiatives that we are planning through that strategic plan. It is supported through fundraising initiatives. We're referring to them as above and beyond because they really are going to take us above and beyond where we are now into that future. And among the initiatives that are ahead in the above and beyond projects are the renovation of SMAC, the Umbeck Science Math Center, and a very exciting project in Green Oaks, many endowment opportunities within our four experiential learning centers that provide opportunities for students to study abroad, to have internships, to serve the community, and to undertake advanced research and projects with faculty. Other initiatives in Above and Beyond include a real acceleration in our athletics program, competitive faculty and staff compensation, and scholarships to help students achieve our goals. We need you to be part of this moment for us, and we're hoping that this phone call is one way to begin to spread the word and to encourage you to help us achieve the goals that we have. I've challenged our staff to identify 1,000 more people to give to Knox this year than last. Maybe you could be one of them. We are really hoping that our alumni will participate in new alumni engagement programs, mentor our students, host the student at an internship, do job shadowing. I just got back from Cuba on an alumni travel trip. That was fascinating, subject for another day. And I, most of all, I hope you'll be a cheerleader for Knox to talk about the value of the liberal arts education that you received here, because the larger conversation about the liberal arts is just, in my view, as a labor economist, deeply out of touch with what really happens here and what all of you experience. So many of you on the call have supported these initiatives and the Knox Fund. I wish I could thank every one of you, each and every one of you, individually, in person, for your generosity and dedication. But I can't do that, so here's a collective thank you, shout out to all of you who have helped, and a hope that others will join us. I'm eager to hear from you. I understand we have a queue of questions already, so let's open it up.
Indeed. So as a reminder to everybody, thank you. Believe it or not, that crazy storm gave us a minor blip of internet outage, but fortunately we're on the good old fashion phone and could keep talking. So if you have a question, press zero. It gets you in line to the queue, and we'll try and get to as many folks as possible. First up tonight, we'll go to Falls Church, Virginia. We're going to talk to Phil, who I believe has a question about affordability and access. Phil, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. I'm concerned about college affordability, and specifically, how much debt do Knox students graduate with? And how does that compare with national figures?
I think I recognize that voice. I think that's Phil Cohen. Phil, is that you?
And so it is. Yes, it is.
That's great. It's a terrific question, and of course it's one that's much in the news. On the debt question, our students leave Knox with average debt well below the national average. They do not have trouble paying back their loans. Our default rates are a fraction of the national average. The average student debt for a Knox student with debt is $27,000, the price of a car. The national average, higher than that. What I will tell you about the national averages is that most of the debt, when people say there's $1 trillion of student loan debt, most of that is being incurred in the for-profit sector and in graduate programs. Very little of that debt is undergraduate debt, and very little of it is undergraduate debt for students who complete their degrees. The students who get into trouble are those who borrow heavily and then do not have an outcome because they don't graduate on time, they may never graduate, or they cannot find employment afterwards. 90% of Knox alumni start to repay their loans within 3 years. The national average is 67%. So on the debt, we have worked very, very hard. We work hard with financial aid. We work hard with scholarships, and we have endowed scholarships that help us a great deal in this area. And we are also working now to help our students become more financially literate so they know how to manage debt. They understand the power of compound interest for good and for bad. So I would say to you, Bill, that the debt issue is less of an issue. Affordability is a problem, and it's a problem because many of our students come from families now who really cannot afford to contribute to their students' college education. And we see those data in the national averages about income and wages and salaries. So going forward, we are going to need to beef up our scholarship assistance to students so that it is not out of the question for a bright and promising young person from a low-income family to come to Knox.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa, and thank you, Phil. That's a nice question to start with. Now we're going to head over to Champaign to Mr. Steinman, class of 70, who looks like his question is about athletics. Go ahead. You're on live with Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. Topper Steinman.
Great to hear. We're not just selectively picking the people I know. I just actually know 16,000 Knox alums, just so you all understand that.
And you know us well, and you affirm us well, and hats off to you and all of you there for the job you're doing. My question is going to be secondary to this comment. Through K-Club, I'm talking in behalf of Knox Athletics, we just recently completed a great campaign with Beverly Holmes and Chad Isley on campus and Gene Rose, a consultant, raising over $100,000 for K-Club and to enhance Knox Athletics. I'm curious to hear from you again. What's your vision and your hope for Knox Athletics?
Well, you know, Topper, you and I have talked about this. I have been at institutions in the past with very strong and very competitive programs in athletics, and I want nothing less than that for Knox. I don't think we should settle for anything less than excellence. We don't settle for less than excellence in the academic arena, in our classrooms, in our labs. I don't want to settle for less than excellence on the courts, on the playing fields, and in the individual competitions. We have in recent years identified new resources, many of them from donors who have wanted to give back to Knox because they valued their academic experience and their athletic experience. Many of them remember a coach. You know, I can't go anywhere in the country without somebody saying to me, "How's coach?" And I know right away they're talking about Harley Nosher. They don't have to give me any names. So the discipline, the life examples, the teamwork, the willingness to stretch yourself and push yourself through hard times, these are all lessons in athletics. I want all of our students to have them, and I want our student-athlete experience to be one of excellence. That's going to take more resources. As I said, we have pumped resources in, and we've been able to do so because people like yourself have really taken this seriously. When I came, the K-Club giving was, I thought, inadequate. And so we now are going to cross the $100,000 mark for the first time. And Topper, I want to thank you and the others that you mentioned for making that happen. I personally, of course, I'm also interested in gender equity in athletics, and I'm really interested to see that this year women's basketball had a winning season for the first time since the mid-90s. So it was great to watch both the men and the women in soccer in championship play. I had an opportunity to go and see the women, and I'm really looking forward to more opportunities for our students to excel. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Topper. Now we're going to head over to Maurice in Minneapolis, who has a question about the liberal arts and their relevance. Maurice, you're on live. Please go ahead with your question for Teresa.
Thank you. Teresa, my question pretty straightforward. You know, in the media lately, liberal arts have been getting a bad rap about its usefulness in the modern world. What's Knox doing to ensure that liberal arts education is still relevant in the working world in the 21st century?
Great question. Of course, that's really at the core of what we do, right? It's the core of our product, it's the core of our outcomes, and it's the core of our investments in the future. We are working pretty hard in a number of areas on this. One, of course, is to ensure that we have the best faculty, because what gives you a terrific educational program, no matter whether it's a liberal arts and sciences degree or even a pre-professional degree of any kind, is the quality of the faculty. So there, we're working hard to ensure that we have competitive salaries and competitive compensation for faculty. We're working hard to provide those faculty with the tools that they need for contemporary teaching, Some of these are technology, and some in fields like science or theater, performing arts, really involve the quality of the facility. They involve the lab, the equipment, the performance venues, the lighting, all of those things that cost money. And we're very good at NUST at stewarding our resources and making lighting systems that might be 40 years old still work. But at the end of the day, we need to be providing technologically complex, sophisticated, and state-of-the-art equipment. So facilities, faculty, equipment, all of the tools for our students to teach, these are really important. The faculty have put together a task force on the Knox educational experience that is looking at other institutions, looking at the our competitors, and going to be making recommendations over the coming year on how we can refresh the core Knox educational experience and make it indeed a state of the 21st century experience. So we're doing a lot in that area. We need, we need your help to do it, but we think we're on top of it.
Okay. Hey, Maurice, thanks for that question. We're going to head out to Colorado now to Evergreen and a parent. Katarina, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, I'm actually not a parent. I'm
a current student.
No, it's okay. I'm from Evergreen, Colorado. But I'm actually right on campus at Knox. I just wanted to ask if there's any potential, remodeling of some of the older living, like housing facilities, anything like that.
Absolutely. Katarina, we've identified the housing as one of our really most important areas because students need housing that is conducive to the kind of residential experience that they really should have that complements their experience in the classroom. It's really interesting that you noted that I had spoken about classrooms and playing fields and all of those things, but not the residence halls. And that is a priority for us. We have trustees working right now on some plans to remodel and renovate the housing. I will tell you it's in an early stage of planning. We're not at the point where, people are out there with paintbrushes and unrolling the carpet. But I will also tell you that we would not undertake renovations in the residence hall without working with a group of students because we want to hear what you see as your priorities for the kind of residential housing that you would live in. And if you can, watch on campus because there are going to be opportunities for you to come together in kind of task forces and focus groups to help us work that out. I would say that we'll be doing some work over the summer and that it will be continuing and ongoing. It's a great, great question, and I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Katarina. Now we're going to head over to Steve in Naperville who has a question about faculty. Steve, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Teresa, I think you answered part of my question, but the thing is, faculty is one of our strongest assets, and I just want to know what your strategy is to recruit, hire, and retain the strongest faculty we can afford.
Another person whose name I recognize. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
It is, of course, the core. As I said before, it's the core of the educational program. I will tell you what we've discovered in recent years is that the diversity and the energy and the vitality of our students is really a tremendous draw. We are able to recruit faculty. The question, though, is to retain them. Just in the last couple of years, we've lost a few faculty to other institutions that offered them more competitive salaries to support their families and better facilities. The best way for us to improve faculty compensation is to create endowed chair positions, which then subsidize the salary of a faculty member and allow the operating budget to get some relief. So in our Above and Beyond fundraising initiatives, we do, in fact, ask for some endowed chairs in various areas. We've added an endowed chair in business recently. One in religious studies, et cetera. So we are looking very carefully. The existence of an endowed chair in mathematics enabled us to create a new minor in statistics. So it not only relieves the operating budget of the faculty salary, but it can also create new opportunities for students in new educational areas. I would say that those are probably the most important things, to keep the quality of the student body high and then to provide additional resources for faculty compensation and facilities.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Now we're going to go to Sarah in Oak Park, who has a question about, I think, Title IX, which is certainly a very serious issue on many campuses across the country. So, Sarah, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. I'm actually a Knox alum, and I was hoping that you could say a few statements about the Title IX issues that I have been hearing about.
Sure. Title IX is, of course, a broad commitment on the part of the federal government and the part of campuses to ensure gender equity in every aspect of our educational program, to ensure that both men and women, when in the original formulation, but now increasingly as we understand the variety of gender options, to create equity so that no one is limited by their gender or their gender expression or identity in ways that would affect their education. So sexual assault is, of course, one of the many ways that one can have your experience on campus diminished or marginalized. Like every college, we recognize sexual assault as a very severe problem. We have made a lot of changes in recent years, Sarah. I don't know, when did you graduate?
She's not there. 2007, I believe.
2007. Sorry, I keep forgetting that I can't actually get in and talk to you. So since 2007, we've made a lot of changes in the way that the college handles sexual assault. We've moved to a single investigator model rather than grievance panels. What that does is it prevents students from having to tell their story multiple times to multiple people. That's one example of a larger class of changes we've made that are all designed to ensure that the student experience is better than it was before. It is still, there's work to do. I would never tell you that we're done. We have a lot of more work to do. We follow the guidance from the OCR. We hope soon to hear that our investigation is concluded and to learn their recommendations. Long way to go, but I think we're better than we have been in the past.
Okay, thank you, Sarah, for that question. We're going to head out to Washington, D.C. now to, I'm not sure if it's Tom, Ann, or Rick, but you have a question about the new minors, I believe. So Tom, Ann, or Rick in D.C., go ahead with your question, please. You're on live with Teresa.
Hi, this is Rick. Good evening. I had a question about, I saw the announcement about some new minors that had been added, and I was curious how those were selected and whether you see any additional minors or majors being added to the curriculum anytime soon.
Sure. Tom, Ann, and Rick, now there's family I know. Hi there, everyone. The minors are part of the educational program. Students have to have two concentrations. Often they'll have two majors or a major and a minor, but knowing Knox students, they'll have a major and a minor and three other minors. And we work with the faculty to identify emerging areas of interest, both to students and also really to scholars in research areas and to knowledge, ways in which knowledge is moving. One of the new minors is one in human health that I think will be a very interesting minor to people who are planning careers in the allied health sciences. So that's one area, the human health minor. Statistics is another minor. Many of you have heard, I'm sure, about big data. And the statistics minor will help students begin to develop quantitative analysis that would enable them to be part of that new emerging area of big data analysis. A design minor, this is one of my particular interests now because design is turning out to be not just a way to draw or do typographical work. Design is now turning out to be a way to create different answers to human problems and to engineer social systems and urban planning, et cetera. So the design minor is the third. So as I said, it's in the hands of the faculty. They're the ones who identify these emerging areas of interest. We test it against students. And then the other thing I should mention is our students have the capacity to design their own majors. And often when we get a cluster of students who are designing a particular major, we'll go there and we'll create first a minor, and then if that plays out, it'll turn into a major. Does that answer your question?
All right. Thank you, Rick. So now we're going to head out to Seattle to Dan, who has a question about career services, I believe. Dan, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Teresa. First, I just wanted to thank you for creating this forum. Second, my question regards career services. I'm wondering what plans does Knox have on the horizon to continue to expand and grow career services for students?
Right. Great question. I was in college at a time where there was no such thing as a career services center, and, of course, we are living in a very, very different time. Over the last 5 years, we've added a position in career services, and we are now in conversation with some donors about adding a third position in career services that would be a position that would help us develop unique internship opportunities for Knox students. Our other two positions are more engaged in direct career counseling, helping students do resumes, plan their job search, do their self-assessment, et cetera. So the new position would be outwardly focused. We have a position in alumni relations right now that has the same outward focus as well. So we are planning to add staff in the career services area. One of the other things that we've done is we've added programming, something we call the Career Impact Summit, where we bring a number of alums back to campus, and they do a series of workshops, presentations, mentoring, job, job counseling to students who in a 2 to 3 day period in December, and we've added in August a business boot camp project. Where students learn how to read a financial statement, learn how to make a business presentation, a business case, do some teamwork on big projects, and learn how to assign roles and work within a team. So that Fulbridge, it's called, is the program that we're developing now as that business boot camp as an adjunct to students who are majoring in the liberal arts and sciences.
Okay, Dan, thanks for that question. We're going to head over to Charleston to a recent grad, Claire, who has a question about, actually I'm not so sure, Claire, about young alums doing some things for the college, so please go ahead with your question.
Hi, so I graduated in June, so Teresa and I actually started the same year. I think we kind of ended up growing. But I was quite heavily involved at Knox, and now that I'm gone, I do make, you know, small contributions to the K Club and help out with Alpha Phi Omega when I can. And I'm a grad student in Charleston, and I end up talking about Knox so often that people ask me why I didn't stay there for grad school, which, as you know, there isn't a grad school. So I actually have two questions, which are, would you ever see Knox having a graduate program? And secondly, what are some things you would suggest recent alums who don't really have very much money to do in order to help Knox flourish, aside from just, you know, suggesting it to possible students?
Right. Great question, Claire. On the question of graduate schools, the Knox Task Force on the Educational Experience that I mentioned is looking at the question of whether we should be offering additional degrees or certifications or other forms of postgraduate opportunities. Now, I will say that those things generally take an investment in faculty and equipment and offices. So we would have to be pretty careful and think about whether we could add a graduate program that would complement the undergraduate program. But that conversation is happening, but it's in its early stages. What a recent grad can do, of course, is that we need your energy, we need your ideas, we need your feedback. We need you to remain engaged with the college by coming back for homecoming. We need you to mentor. Even at an early stage, you can mentor other students here at Knox. And we also hope that you will contribute, because people who start contributing early in small amounts, often they get into the habit of giving. And that loyalty, that participation in the giving is something that is also important. I especially appreciate it when young alums come to alumni events. Often they don't feel that they're welcome at alumni events, where they think there are going to be a lot of older alums. And really, there's nothing older alums want more than to talk with recent graduates and to get a real sense of Knox as it moves into the future. So I really would encourage you, if there are events in your area, of course, you're pretty close in Charleston, Illinois, but to participate in those events, to come back to campus and to connect with other Knox alums.
Okay, thank you, Claire, for that great question, and good luck to you in your career and grad school efforts. So now we're going to go to, I believe, Sri, who has a question about STEM. Sri, I deeply apologize if I've mispronounced your name, but please.
Oh, yeah, no, you pronounced it fine. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
President Arnett, Sri Yedavali, class of 93, and a STEM advocate and pseudoscientist, I guess. A question for you, ma'am. When back in the time that I was at Knox, the science department actually was quite well renowned. We had Billy Gear and Mark Brodel and just a strong array of scientists, both in the biology department and chemistry department, let alone an up-and-coming CS department. In the wake of President Obama's initiatives for STEM, initiatives across the board for K through 12, the need for teachers to be STEM ready, and the balance of having strong scientists have a liberal arts background like I did, and my fellow alumni who walked through SMAC. Can you tell us more about any initiatives that are planned for STEM and tie that into direct details about what you want to do with the Science and Math Center?
Right.
Thank you.
We have a lot of initiatives that are very much aligned with some of the ones that you've mentioned. First, well, of course, sadly, we've lost Bill Gear and Mark Brodel. We have some really remarkable younger faculty, early career faculty, and long-serving faculty who are mentoring students in their labs, who are getting grants from NSF and NIH to do their research and to include students in the research that they're doing as well. So we have some names that are up and coming, and they will be the Bill Gears of the future here now at Knox. I'm very proud of the NSF and NIH grants that we are getting now. The Petroleum Research Fund is another important funder in chemistry. And our computer science department, which was fledgling when you arrived, is now really a remarkable department. Students are doing very interesting coding work. We have a startup term, which is an immersion term, where computer science students and students with an interest in business and economics form teams to develop a project, a product, and spend 10 weeks in that team developing the product. We also, by the way, are working on pipeline issues, our faculty working in local schools, our students, so chemistry majors working with the chemistry club, for example, working with young students in Galesburg, and our Ed Studies program, I think, is really doing a terrific job preparing people to teach biology, physics, chemistry, mathematics, computer science. So we're pretty aligned with the priorities that you've described. We're very concerned about the pipeline, and we also have a very big federal grant to support students from underrepresented groups as they advance in STEM fields. So we're excited about the energy, the new energy in the sciences.
Sri, thanks for that question. We're going to hop over to Palos Park to Ken, who is a parent who has a question about some curricular options in the future. Ken, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Oh, okay. Thank you. From Palos Park, here is Ken. I have a question. I know Rick had mentioned something earlier about, you know, additional degrees or majors and minors, and I was wondering specifically if you have any plans in the future to add majors such as accounting, physical education, business management, you know, or athletic training, only from a standpoint, those, from what I've seen at other schools, are what attracts the student athletes, and, you know, having more majors like that might also help the Knox program, you know, in recruiting these athletes.
Sure. Good question. I think the question of adding a major, as I said, we're more likely to start by adding minors and then explore and see whether we could go further on that. We do have, of course, business and accounting as a minor right now. Many students will major in economics and minor in business, and they will take accounting courses in that minor. So when you look at their overall academic program, it looks a lot like a business major at other institutions. So that combination, remember, every student has to do a major and a minor. The business minor is the most popular minor now. We are also looking at areas like arts management, sports management, things like that, that could be created as adjuncts to our existing programs and would, as you say, be very attractive to students. We have a sports studies minor right now, so that could form the nucleus of that. But all of those being said, you never want to just add majors because it's a resource commitment unless you're absolutely confident that you can support those majors in the future. So we would always start small. We would start with the minors, and these are areas of great interest to us.
Okay, thank you. So will you have more questions we're going to get to, but we want to pause for a moment and ask a question of all of you. So this is like a poll question. You can use your keypad to answer. We've talked a lot about some exciting initiatives here at Knox, a lot of good questions about where the future might go. There's an important strategic plan in play right now. So you help us. Use your keypad. We'll give you five choices, and you tell us what new initiatives you think are the most important, or what new initiative, excuse me, do you think is the most important? Five choices. Number one on your keypad would be renovation of Umbeck Science Building and other academic buildings. Two would be for faculty compensation. Three would be for student research. Four would be career services. And five would be scholarships and financial aid. Again, what new initiative do you think is the most important? Renovation of Umbeck Science and other buildings, faculty compensation is 2, student research 3, career services 4, scholarships and financial aid 5. We'll give you the answers or the results, excuse me, in a second, but right now we're going to hop over to Denise, and a parent from Elmwood Park who looks like she has just a general comment. So Denise, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, Teresa. Hi.
Hi there.
I have a student, he's a senior, and we came from Oak Park with a batch of students, very good students. I must say that my son's academic performance has been very challenging, but he's earned Dean's List 5 times, and currently winner, he's ranked 3.9. So at Knox, I believe that he's received a total package experience that he would be not able to receive anywhere else. He's been challenged to the point that he's been doing the best he can, and he's achieved through his own personal merit. I'm pleased with his mentor, Robin Metz, has taken my son into greater aspects of the literary field. And it is an American dream for a mom like me. I'm a single mom with 2 boys. And basically to have that part of the American dream, they have education at Knox for my son, has been one of the most fulfilling things that we've been able to have in our life. He'll be walking away from Knox with not only a network of peers, but certain members that he has had involvement with, McNair program. It's really fulfilled him in a lot of different ways to make him from a kid walking in to now a man that's going to have a good career in the literary field. And with that, I'm very, very pleased that he has been able to have the resources. I'm very, very pleased as a parent not having the formal education myself, to see my son go through college and be able to achieve such high merit on his own. And with that, I'm very, very grateful. So thank you, Ms. Teresa, and thank you to Knox. It's a beautiful campus. I've been there several dozen times, and it's one of the better places that we've ever looked at. So for my son, you know, I thank you very much for his education.
Thank you, Denise. Can I just say one of the great things about being an educator, and as I said, I started my faculty career teaching in 1978. Mm-hmm. One of the most exciting things is sitting on the stage or near the stage at commencement and watching the young people walk across the stage, remembering who they were and what they looked like and how they interacted with you as first-year students. And then seeing them 4 years later, and that maturation is, it can be very moving. I mean, I'll tell you, there's often a tear shed by the faculty member because they know who those young people were when they came in, and you can see them now, 4 years later, a tremendous amount of growth can happen in those really important 4 years. So thanks for that.
Okay, we'll get back to another question in a moment, but I wanted to let you know how you all voted in the poll. We asked you what one new initiative you thought was the most important, and nothing truly won out. Renovation of Umbeck Science had about a fifth, 20%, faculty compensation about 24%, student research was low single digits, career services mid-teens, and not surprisingly, I suppose, scholarships and financial aid won out with 32%. One out of three of you thought access and opportunity to a Knox education ought to be a number one. So with that, we'll get back to questions. Thank you for your input. We're going to head now to Columbia to Ms. Byerly, I believe, who has a question about something with students and the food service, I think. So Ms. Byerly, you're on live. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, I'm a Knox alum. I graduated in 1987, and there's a lot of things I love about Knox, and I wanted my kids to go to Knox. I brought my son to visit, and all of the things that you've talked about, the wonderful academic programs, sports, arts, all of these different things, were really wonderful, but then we walked through the student union and went to the dining hall, and I just wonder, are there plans for improvement and renovation in that area, because that makes a big impression, you know, on kids when they come and look and they're thinking about where to go to college?
Absolutely. I mean, as I think I mentioned, we're pretty good stewards at Knox of our facilities, and we sometimes hear from people who were Knox alums that it looks exactly as it did when they were there. So my guess is that you walked through Seymour Union, it looked exactly as it did when you were there. This is one of the things I like to say to alums. The great thing about Knox is it's exactly as you remember it. The worst thing about Knox is it's exactly as you remember it. So we are working with our food service providers, new providers, and with our facilities areas to make some renovations in that cafeteria area. There's no question but that the facilities could be, they could be aesthetically more pleasing, they could be arranged more efficiently, we could have opportunities for students to spend more time in the cafeteria and in student union as a true student unit, and those plans are indeed on the list. When you have such, you know, really an aging physical plant, everything's on the list. The question is, what are we going to get to first? What are we going to get to second? And what can we make? Where can we make small fixes that will make a difference for students right now, even while we wait to make bigger fixes? But yes, we are in fact working to identify ways to make the student dining experience much better in all of its dimensions.
Okay, thank you. So we have another question for you. We have several more people whose questions we're going to do our best to get to, but we also wanted to get one more question from you. This is a simple yes-no. Please tell us, would you like Knox to host more calls like this in the future? One for yes, two for no. Again, if you'd like Knox to host more calls like this in the future, one for yes, two for no. Now we're going to move on to, it looks like, I pressed the wrong button.
No, we're good. All right.
So we're going to go now, to Matt in Arizona, who has a question that might tie into priorities and the endowment. So, Matt, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Madam President, I'd just like to encourage the college to continue to be, in terms of the dining services transition, to be sensitive to the stresses and the needs of our hardworking employees in that area. Because it just reading from, you know, some of the accounts on the Knox Student and speaking to a few of the folks that I know in dining services from my time working over at the C-Store, it's been a very challenging transition. It was a pretty miserable transition the last time we went to a contractor. That's one of the reasons we exited that arrangement, and so I hope that that can be reviewed, and if there is an adjustment that needs to be made for the betterment of our people, our students and our employees, and maybe we would consider doing that. My question is in regards to the potential for a full-blown comprehensive campaign, of which above and beyond looks like, you know, something of a hybrid, and maybe I'm just wondering about the, you know, the calculus behind this hybrid approach, and whether you have any optimism that, and thank God for donors like Mr. and Mrs. Whitcomb and some of the other folks that are helping us, but it just seems like we've been lacking ever since I arrived, you know, that a group of folks in the last 15 or 20 years to really help us with some big-time gifts, and maybe we needed to, you know, to build a base of relationships upon which those big gifts and that estate planning and what have you would be founded. But I'm real appreciative to, you know, the folks that helped us. I think our last campaign wrapped up around 2000 or 2001, and it still seems like we need a lot of help in that area and with the endowment to get us to that financial impregnability that we often heard about in the mid-2000s.
Yeah. So we are actually, I would have to say, in the middle of some really remarkable success in attracting large gifts and building up the endowment. The last 2 years have been the largest years of for giving in the history of the college, greater than, in fact, when we were in the Knox Now campaign. We have exceeded, last year we raised $18 million. We never raised anything of that nature when we were in the Knox Now campaign. Above and beyond is an $87 million fundraising initiative. It differs from a conventional capital campaign in some ways that are technical and that we don't really need to talk about. But it is a big, it is an ambitious campaign, and it is a campaign to get money in the door right now so that all the people who've called in and said, are you going to do Seymour Union? Are you going to do athletics? Are you going to fix the sciences? Are you going to do the residence halls? What about, you know, all of these very big facilities projects? What about scholarships and financial aid? We're in it. So it's not a matter of planning. We are deep in a major fundraising campaign. And the other thing that I would mention is that that campaign is not going to happen unless we get more of you to give. I feel like now I'm on, you know, public TV, and I'm, you know, pushing the benefits of membership. The membership in Knox, we couldn't do it without our members. We can't do it without our friends and our supporters. So I would like 1,000 more people to give gifts as the result of this this call or other calls, and maybe, you know, you can be one of our new donors. Back to your other question about the endowment, I will tell you that two things that the college has actually had fundraising performance at among the top five small colleges in the country, as recognized by the people who rate fundraising offices. The Case Awards, and as a result, our endowment growth has been in the very top percentages of endowment growth nationally. So I think we're in it. I think what you're proposing that we do is what we're doing, and we'd love to have you help us.
Okay, thank you very much. I know we really wanted to try and be respectful of everybody's time. tonight, and there are many, many more people in the queue. We're sort of looking to see if we can find a question that represents several and in one question get you all covered. There's an option that when we finish here, though, that you can leave us a voicemail and with your question or a new question or a comment, and over the next week or so, we'll do our best to listen to those and follow up as appropriate. So to respect your time, we're going to go ahead and take one more question, and for that question, we're going to go to Ruth in Fairbury, Illinois. Ruth, you're on live with Teresa. Please go ahead with your question.
Good evening. My name is Ruth McWhorter. My daughter is a junior there, and I just wanted to say she just returned from France on a study abroad program, and she was thrilled. She's grown so much from this. My question is, do you talk to the students that come back to find out their experience there and what they may like to see changed in the program or fine-tuned a little in the program? At this point, I can say nothing but great praise for her host mother, Elizabeth, and I just wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Right. We do a comprehensive assessment of all the study abroad programs when the students return, and we are assessing for two different kinds of things. One I would just describe as the student satisfaction with the program, where things like the host family, the arrangements, et cetera, would be there. And we also look at learning outcomes. In other words, sometimes students will tell you, well, I didn't have a great host family, but I learned a lot from that about how to interact with people that were very different from me, and I learned that I could actually persevere in an experience that was uncomfortable for me. So we measure both their satisfaction and their learning, and we have some pretty sophisticated tools that we use to do that, and then we compare them both across programs and over time. So I would ask that you encourage your daughter to provide the feedback when that's asked of her. And sometimes the students don't fill out our surveys. And also for her to talk to the faculty or to the people in the study abroad program and share her perspective, because we always learn when people give us their feedback.
Indeed, and that's been one of the great opportunities on tonight's phonecast. So, Teresa, thank you so much. I know you really wanted to respect everyone's time, and I cannot believe we've come to nearly an hour. It's just flown by. Again, you'll be able to leave us a voicemail if you're still on at the end. Just follow the prompts. But I know, Teresa, you wanted to wrap things up with a couple of comments before we close.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry we weren't able to take all of the questions, but again, that is not surprising to me because you are, many of you, Knox alums, or you are the parents of Knox alums-to-be. And one of the things that I've always appreciated about Knox alums and about the people who entrust their children to us is that kind of spirit of inquisitiveness, that spirit of learning and improvement. We believe in critical thinking, and so we appreciate both your criticism and your kudos to us. This has been fun. I hope we can do it again, and I hope that we don't lose 10 minutes to a thunderstorm. But, you know, it is the Midwest, and I'm going to make no guarantees about the weather out here, for sure. Thank you for your time and listening. I know it's kind of hard to be on the phone for as much as an hour, so we're grateful to all of you for staying with us during this great opportunity. There'll be more. Stay tuned.
Thank you, and good night.